following took place on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Texas, USA. Earth.
Our man, Peter Bean. Peter, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing great. BurnOrangeNation.com, Big 12 report. I got mine yesterday. Thank you very much for that. Hey, how can people get that, first of all? Can they sign up for that?
Yeah, you just head on over to BurnOrangeNation.com and look in the right sidebar. I've got each week Big 12 report is archived, so you can go back and read the week one report. And this week's week two report is still on the front page. So just head over to BurnOrangeNation.com, and of course we got content updating there all day, all week long.
All right, you covered the Longhorns for a while, and obviously you must have an opinion on what's happening with Vince Young right now. What is your take on the whole story, Peter?
Well, you know, I'm a little. Somebody asked me this yesterday, and he said, "Why does Vince react this way?" And you know, the best I could come up with is, you know, the same thing that made him, you know, the greatest college football player that I think a lot of us would say, and you could certainly make the argument that we've seen, is the same thing that maybe is animating him here. When he meets failure, he's so passionate and takes it so personally that it affects him in a way that, you know, the rest of us, it doesn't affect us. That's not how we react to life. And it affects him in that really intense way, and that's the kind of thing, you know, in college when he was challenged, he responded and said, "I'm going to be the best," and you kind of hope that's how he'll rebound to this. I mean, he hates failure. He takes it very personally, you know, but this is a tough league where, you know, he can't just be a great athlete. He's got to do it all, and part of what he's going to have to do, I think it's becoming more clear, is learn to live within himself and live within his mistakes. So I worry for Vince, but, you know, I've learned not to doubt this guy. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. I mean, this story could have a very happy ending to it, or, you know, happy endings to it, as he's just at the beginning of his career here, and you hope this is just an obstacle, a hurdle that he has to overcome. And since you're the Longhorn guy, it's like a Longhorn backfield reunion party in Nashville right now. Ahmad Hall, of course, is a fullback there, and Chris Sims gets signed as a backup quarterback for the meantime, as Kerry Collins will lead the show. What do you make of Sims in his pro career
so far? Sims, you know, I actually thought he was going to have a pretty good shot with John Gruden. John Gruden's a pretty good quarterbacks coach. You know, he's known for his defense, but he does pretty well with quarterbacks, and I thought that might be a good fit for him, but it never really took. You know, Chris certainly has, you know, the ability to get the ball where it needs to go, but he's had trouble standing in the pocket and delivering throws when he needs to, and I do think that the Tennessee's not a bad fit for him. I think if that offensive line, which is a strong one, it's got that good complementary running game, he doesn't have to be asked to do too much. Now, I think Sims, as a guy that carries the offense, that's not a fit you want. But as a kind of game manager or the guy that you count on for solid complementary to your running game, Christians can do that. At least I thought he was capable of it, and he showed flashes of it, you know, in Tampa before, you know, the injury.
Peter, while you're talking UT, they've seemed to have found a running back in Whitaker. What are your thoughts on him?
Oh, I love him. He is fun to watch. He's real short, but he's got legs like tree trunks, and he's got real fluid hips, quick feet. And I think I mentioned this earlier this summer, but he looks like he's being controlled by a video game joystick. I mean, that's the way he kind of moves. He can move laterally like that. And, you know, he'll kind of disappear, and you can't see him underneath all these bodies, and then he'll kind of squirt out, and off he goes. He's got that acceleration north-south, and he can move side to side. I think Texas really needs that. Because Greg Davis is committed to that shotgun approach, one tight end, one back out of the shotgun. And Vondrell McGee, you know, he was an I formation running back in high school. He's excelled in practice in the I formation, but he's still learning how to be that guy in the shotgun. So Texas, I'm not sure McGee was the right guy to run that offense consistently, but Whitaker is. I mean, he is quick. He finds space, and he can make people miss. I love him.
Peter Bean, BurntOrangeNation.com, and the Big 12 Report. Joining us on Sports Radio 610, Colt McCoy, 7 touchdown passes already, just 1 pick, 1 sack. He is on fire, completing 75% of his passes. Now, again, Florida Atlantic and UTEP, but Division I teams. Florida Atlantic was supposed to be better. So was UTEP, by the way, especially at their place. But here we go. Arkansas coming up. This could be a monster year, statistically anyway, for Colt McCoy, and maybe a better year for the Longhorns overall than a lot of people projected.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And UTEP and Florida Atlantic aren't defenses. Florida Atlantic was terrible, and they just kind of sat back in that soft zone. UTEP did a little more with that, you know, they run that crazy 3-5-3 and they blitz all the time. But Colt has looked exceptional, and even against two bad defenses, it was really important, I think, for him to get off to this kind of start. And I think it's real clear this is his offense and his team. If you take away that third quarter of the UTEP game when Texas kind of got out of sync, the play calling got a little bit away from Greg Davis, I think. McCoy's been pretty much perfect outside of that, and he's running the ball pretty well. One thing I'd like to see him do, he struggled last year a bit when he kind of got a little too happy. We had that happy feet scrambling thing where he tried to make a play on every time. When he's been staying within himself, he did this really well against Florida Atlantic, especially in the first half, and then in the first half against the UTEP as well. When he stays within himself, isn't trying to do too much, he's putting the ball where it needs to be. Texas certainly has the line to give him some time, and they've got, you know, they don't have any deep playmakers, but they've got solid guys. Blaine Irby has emerged as a tight end threat, which I think has surprised a lot of us. Those two clearly worked a lot over the summer. Quan Cosby is just Velcro out there, and, you know, Jordan Shipley is finally healthy and giving Texas, you know, another good option on the wide receiver. You know, the one thing they still need to develop is that deep threat, and hopefully, you know, Buckner or Grant or Williams, somebody can step up in that regard, because you worry a little bit the teams are going to start creeping up a little bit. And then what happens? And so that's my big concern for Colt and the receivers heading forward.
Well, we know how the nation thinks about the SEC, but how do you feel about the Big 12 and how they stack up maybe against the SEC and the rest of the leagues around college football?
Well, I said this summer that I thought you know, the SEC and Big 12 were 1 and 1A. Take your pick. You know, some, not everybody takes the Big 12 quite as seriously as I think they should, but this is an outstanding conference. It is, especially on offense. It is, you know, it's a little bit like what Texas high school football was. It's kind of been a trendsetter, been a little bit of ahead of the trend, and it's got these spread, wide open passing attacks. This is why, by the way, the Mike Sherman hire made absolutely no sense to me. You know, we're talking about Big 12, which is absolutely loaded right now, and I think, top to bottom, very much as good as the SEC. I might even put him ahead of the SEC. And then Texas A&M hires Mike Sherman, and it's a terrible fit, and they're off to a disastrous start, and it looks like it may get worse before it gets better. So this could set them back another 3, 4, 5 years.
They play Miami a week from Saturday. Javaris James might not play in that game. High ankle sprain should probably keep him out, and that's going to help out the Aggies' cause. And you mentioned it, Big 12 national profile, the thing hurting them. Well, the Aggies losing to Arkansas State. Hey, Colorado almost lost to Eastern Washington over the weekend, but they were able to pull out the victory.
Team Peter, that's always intriguing. Oklahoma State, they faced off against my Houston Cougars this weekend and put a good one on them. What are your thoughts on them? Can they maintain this season? They've got a tough schedule, but, you know, might we see Oklahoma State contend for a Big 12 South title?
Yeah, well, you know your Cougars did all right on offense, but listen to some of these numbers from Oklahoma State this weekend. Oklahoma State had 4 touchdown drives of less than 2 minutes, 4 touchdown drives of 4 plays or less, and 699 yards of total offense. I mean that is just absolutely ridiculous. They had two rushers who averaged 9 yards a carry, and the question somebody, one of my buddies asked me this weekend, and I'm gonna have to think about it. And what he said is, tell me the difference between them and Texas Tech or them in Missouri. I'm not sure that that we know that there is one yet. I mean, they've got a very legit offense. Zach Robinson knows what he's doing. Dez Bryant is a great receiver. Kendall Hunter stepping right into that role, running the football. So this is a team to take seriously. And one of the reasons why, I mean, the Big 12 South is just a silly division. And even if you go down to Baylor, the freshman quarterback there, Robert Griffin, is my new favorite non-Longhorn player. He's absolutely outstanding from Copper's Cove. He won the Big 12 hurdles in the 200 meters this summer. He enrolled early at Baylor. He had a 4.7 GPA in high school. He's a great kid, and he's very charismatic.
4.7? How do you get a 4.7? A plus?
They've got the 5.0 scale.
You get the A, and you get a 5.0.
Sorry, I guess I'm just not up to date with the latest academia ratings. Hey, Peter, thanks a lot for the time. We appreciate
it.
BurnOrangeNation.com. Sign up for that Big 12 report. It's great stuff. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.